You're a hypocrite. That's what I have been told a lot lately. It seems every time I stand up for something about our Catholic faith or some truth of a moral teaching, somebody wants to chime in and say, yeah, well, you're a hypocrite because you don't do these other things too. I found myself on Friday on the day of the big March for Life in Washington, D.C. I was kind of watching the march and working on other things, and I did something I don't normally do. I got into kind of a comment war on Facebook. You know what I'm talking about. So I posted something nice about the March for Life, and people started to say, yeah, you only care about babies before they're born. You don't care about babies after they're born. You don't care about refugees, and you hate the poor. And I'm like, okay, you don't even know me. And the fact that I would say that we should protect babies in their mother's wombs and protect mothers from abortionists does not mean that I don't care about refugees or the poor or anything, but I was getting called a hypocrite to say that, well, that you care for babies in the womb. There's all these other things you don't do, so you just be quiet about this pro-life stuff. You're not really pro-life. And so that went on, unfortunately, for about, I think it's up to like 200 some comments. So that happened. But that's okay. I offered it up for the babies on that day and their mothers to have a little bit of penance to do, and I like just go back and forth with that. But it did get me thinking about this whole idea about being a hypocrite. Is that really a just kind of accusation to throw out there? It seems like it happens so often, not even just with pro-life things, but anything. If the church is standing up for the dignity of the poor, someone will say, yeah, but you've got these lavish churches. You don't care about the poor. Or if we try to stand up for marriage, people say, yeah, but you Catholics get divorced as much as anybody else. And any time we try to stand up for the truth, it seems like someone is going to say, you hypocrite. You guys don't do it. You say it, but you don't do it. Well, it got me thinking, is that really what it means to be a hypocrite? To say something and then not do it? Well, only partly. Because what really it means to be a hypocrite is to say something publicly to get attention, to look good or something, to take a public stand in one way, but then to not actually believe it. To just be speaking, to just say it, but not actually believe it, and privately hold something completely different. Kind of sounds like a lot of politicians that we know. You say one thing, but really you don't believe it, and you do something completely different privately. That's a hypocrite. To not be convicted about what you actually believe, and just fake it. That's not, I don't think, what we do as Christians that gets us called a hypocrite. We have lofty ideals in our faith. The teachings of God are beautiful and they are true, but they are often hard. It is not easy to live up to what God asks of us. We know it's good. We know if we do it, we will be holy and we'll be happy. And to sin is precisely to choose what will make us unhappy. And yet we do that. We do that over and over because we are weak, miserable little sinners that constantly need to be saved. It does not make us a hypocrite to hold the truth, to hold lofty goals, and to fall short. That doesn't make us a hypocrite. That makes us Christian. That makes us the essence of what it means to say that Jesus Christ is our Savior and He came to save us. We look at St. Paul today in the second reading. This is exactly what he's reminding the Corinthians of. Are you Christians because you are so special and important? None of you were important. You weren't wealthy or powerful of noble birth. You're not Christians because somehow you're just the cream of the crop that have it all together. You're not Christians because you just live everything in a super way. Exactly the opposite, Paul says. He says, rather, God chose you precisely because you're weak and can't do it. He chose you because you're foolish. You're foolish to hold these things and then not do it. But he says, I will use you, even in your weakness and your foolishness, to shame the proud. Because it won't be you who win the victory. It's me. It's God. Jesus saves us. That's why he says he chose the lowly, the despised of the world, to reduce to nothing those who think they are something. So that no human being might boast before God. Whoever boasts should boast in the Lord. That's our call as Christians. Not to say, I've got it all together. Look at me. Yeah, I live it great. You want to see how to be a Christian? Look at me because I'm doing it. That person is the person that thinks they're strong and is not. To be strong is to say, I know what's expected. I know what God asks, and I want to do it, and I can't. I'm weak. I don't do it. That's when you're at the heart of what it means to really be a Christian. That's what ultimately Matthew is telling us in the gospel today with the Beatitudes. Who would we think are the ones to watch and follow? The powerful, the rich. He says, no, blessed are you. Are you poor? Are you poor in spirit? Are you poor in your ability to avoid sin? Great. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Are you mourning because this world just doesn't seem to be enough? That the things of this world don't satisfy and you just are constantly reaching out for something that's not quite God and left constantly unsatisfied and are mourning and sad? Good. You'll be comforted one day. Are you meek when everyone else is putting down people, trying to be powerful, and you're just the one that is meek? Good. You inherit the land. Blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. You can't do it. You want it. I want to be holy. I keep trying over and I keep falling down. Good. The hunger and thirst for righteousness is what you need. Not the success. The hunger. You'll be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, because when everyone else is trying to be judgmental and put everybody else down and marginalize people, you're merciful. You'll be shown mercy. You're a peacemaker. Good. When everyone else is trying to go out and get powerful by attacking other people and putting them down and waging war all over the place, good. Be a peacemaker. You'll be called children of God. And yeah, if you're persecuted because you try to stand up for our faith, for some lofty ideal that you can't really do, and people persecute you for the sake of desiring that righteousness, good. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You'll be blessed. That's our faith. That's the essence of what it means to say that we are Christian, because we have a Savior. We are weak and we can't do it. And Jesus says, I will make you blessed precisely because you're weak and can't do it. If you boast in the Lord, do that. The truth is, and hear me, we can say, all of us, that we are not what we want to be. But we also have to say, but I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Because of my encounter with Jesus, because of his grace, I fall all the time. And that goes for me too. I used to think as a young new priest that my role as a priest would be to live God's law just perfectly. I wanted to be the one that could be the example and say, don't give up hope. You can do it. See, I got to be the one to do it and set a good example by being perfect and living God's law. Well, it didn't take too long for me to figure out that, hey, that's impossible. Just because you become a priest doesn't mean somehow you're perfect and you live the law perfectly. I don't. But then I saw that God did something that I had not foreseen with that. Because I began to talk with different groups of people about confession and explain my own fallenness and my own need for confession. And far from turning people off, what I found was people then wanted to come. They could see that, yeah, Father struggles with the same things we do. He's one of us. And we can go to him. We can go to confession to him because he knows us. And pretty soon it became much better for me. I saw it not to try to hide weakness, not to try to pretend that somehow everything's great all the time, but precisely in my weakness, in your weakness, in the weakness of every Christian, not to be able to live up to the law. That's the attractive part. Who wants to become a Christian if they think everybody has to be perfect to be a Christian? People will criticize us. He has to say, you Christians, you're hypocrites. You don't do it. Fine. As Pope Francis has told us, we're a field hospital. We're not a palace for saints. We make saints because we don't give up. But it's not our work that accomplishes this. It's the work of Jesus. Don't boast in yourself. Boast in your weakness. Tell people, I can't do it. That this is the truth, though. We hold both. Don't shy away from the fullness of the gospel. Go out and say, yes, absolutely, this is what I believe. I believe that we are called to purity, to holiness in life, to faithfulness, to love of God, to love of poor, to love of the neighbor. We're called to all that. I believe it. There is no doubt I'm committed to it. And I don't do it. We hold both of those together because we're not what we want to be, but we're not what we were. So don't let anybody call you a hypocrite because you fall short and don't make it. You're not a hypocrite. You're a Christian on the way. So boast in Jesus. If people utter insults against you, persecute you, call you names like hypocrite because we don't do it, don't stop proclaiming the truth. Don't let them call you a hypocrite. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven.